July 4th. So you know what's coming. So I think it's important for us to reflect upon those who went before us, how God worked in their lives, what they did. July the 4th, Brother Howell alluded to it. It's truly Secession Day. And as much as the statists hate to acknowledge those things, that's what happened. And men have a right to self-determination. And that's all that our forefathers did in the 18th century. They separated themselves from an overpowering, tyrannical central government. In the 19th century, our forebears once again stood up against such an overpowering and wicked government. In the midst of that fight, significant occurrences on and about this day, with Gettysburg and with Vicksburg falling the next day. We're living in a time that's, as I said, it's bittersweet. You almost want to stand up for stuff that, you know, you really know you shouldn't be standing up for, because you see these idiots that are out there, you know, rebelling against it for the wrong reasons. The communism. Critical race theory and all these other things that are being promoted. So it's bittersweet. Mm-hmm. In one sense, and our Confederate ancestors weren't perfect, but those men stood really as almost no other men through history have. And they were fighting back against those who had invaded their homelands. And I was reading today, this last week, in Confederate Veteran Magazine, I think it was one of the Kinney brothers, who was talking, we think of the Confederate veterans, we think old gray-haired men and their beards and whatever, but no, these were boys out there at Gettysburg. Probably the most of them in their teens. And they gave their all. They gave their lives. They laid down their lives for their homes, for their families, for their land, for their people. And we see people wanting to destroy all remembrance of them, to tear them down, to block these things from our memory. And recently we saw they dug up the forests, and they're in the process of trying to dig up, you know, A.P. Hill. I mean, these ghouls don't even want any remembrance of the history that went before us. July the 4th, I don't know how much longer they'll even be marking that. It'll probably pass by the wayside, and it'll just be Juneteenth. Mm-hmm. Whatever that means. Whatever insanity is there. But today, we think back on the beginnings of this country, and it didn't take it too long to get off track. Such is the nature of fallen man.
That's right.
And we thank our Confederate ancestors that tried to bring it back in the 19th century and ultimately were overpowered. There was a day in 1863, July the 3rd. It was the third day of the bloody Battle of Gettysburg. 13,000 Confederates, elements of General Longstreet's corps, were about to begin an astounding charge into the very teeth of the entrenched and strong Union defenses. other units participated, but this charge has become known as Pickett's Charge. The Confederates crossed open ground of about a mile as they approached the enemy lines. And they took terrible casualties. First from artillery, then from small arms. General Garnett's brigade of 1,300 men lost 950. And some suffered even higher casualties. Eventually, the Confederates did reach those Union lines. They endured the wall of lead, but they were so decimated that it was impossible for them to carry those lines. And at the last, a mere remnant struggled back to the Confederate lines. Once again, enduring fierce Union fire, these young men fell by the scores and the hundreds and the thousands. And as these wounded and grieving men approached their own lines, they heard a Confederate band strike up the hymn, "Nearer, My God, to Thee." During the 3 days of the battle at Gettysburg, some 28,000 Confederates fell, along with some 23,000 Federals. 51,000 men who were victims of a repressive and monolithic federal government.
That's right.
For both those on the North and the South were victims of that government. That government that pursued a needless and illegal and immoral war against its own people. The very definition of treason by the Constitution. Lincoln and the federal forces were indeed guilty of treason. And we today continue, if anything more so, under the heels of that tyrant. And those men faced in battle that striped rag that we don't fly here. It no longer meant what it had meant at the founding even. Mm-hmm. It certainly no longer means it today.
Right.
Those folks that fly that flag, in essence, I understand some folks have their hearts in the right place. I don't know where their heads are. They want to continue to honor that thing. I just saw some things this week. I was going to mention some of them in the sermon, but Dennis sent me a video clip of an Air Force lieutenant colonel that's being transferred over to the Space Forces, whatever that is. A transsexual. Or a transgender, or a who knows what. Don't want to get into the differences. But she, he, it just talked about how wonderful, you know, it was, and how she decided, he decided, looked in the mirror one day, and he had to become a she, and you want your young men, your young women to be under the command of something like that?
No.
I mean, really? Saw another thing of a Seabees. They used to be tough guys. You know, John Wayne did a movie about the Seabees. They had a trans trail march that was mandatory. And they were flying the perverted striped flags of the LGBTQ plus one I whatever movement. And they were required to be there. It was a command performance. And they marched with these flags down to the beach. I mean, what have we come to? Dennis, when he wrote me, commented, he said, may the Lord have mercy on us. And I wrote back, I said, yes, may the Lord have mercy on us, because I don't think the Russians and the Chinese will. We've lost our bearings. We've lost. And that's why I say quite often, it ain't my flag and it ain't my country. And some folks don't take that well. More and more folks seem to start understanding that. We can trust God. We don't know His mind. Why? Why did the Confederacy fail? Why did the Lincolnian view prevail? I'll tell you this much, it's but for a season. Payday someday, and
that's right.
He will balance the books. I trust we can say with General Lee, I'm not concerned with results. God's will ought to be our aim. I'm quite contented that His design should be accomplished, and not mine. Or Stonewall would say, duty is ours and consequences are God's. And that Old Testament Saint Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. So we think back to that July 3rd, a day over 158 years ago now, as we listen to that hymn, and we think of those wearied troops as they struggled back to their own lines.
Steps unto heaven.
all that thou sendest me, in mercy given. Angels to beckon me, need my God to be, need my God to be, need to be. Then with my waking thoughts, bright with thy praise, out of my stony griefs, Bethel I'll raise. So by my woes to be, near am my God to be, near am I to thee, nearer to thee. Or if on joyful wing, cleaving the sky, sun, moon, and stars forgot, upward I fly. Still all my song shall be, near am I God to thee, near am I God to thee, near to thee, near to thee. Hit something. Okay. Want to put stuff away. Okay. I managed to take a lot of time with preliminaries, but a lot of that was kind of preaching anyway. So we'll pick up here with my Father's Day sermon. Probably wait till next week to finish this, but and it's kind of appropriate to the things we're talking about. The day in which we live, and those who went before us, those that will come after us, and our thoughts that ought to be on them. As we remember David, as he was about to die. 1 Kings 2, verse 1. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all earth. David was about to die, and he was concerned about what he would pass on to those that would follow him, and what he would pass on particularly to his son Solomon, who would be in a place of accountability and responsibility. And we should think on these things. As Paul reminds us, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. I mean, you may scheme and maneuver and manipulate and do all you can in this life, and sometimes it may turn out all right, but then you die. And then what? And beyond that, we spoke about then you die, and then what? What's going to be left behind you? What of your posterity? What of those that come behind you? And David charged Solomon. He said in verse, continuing at the end of verse 2, "Be thou strong, therefore, and shew thyself a man." Show yourself a man, Solomon. Stand on your own two feet. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16:13, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong." That word quit again speaks of fulfilling our duty, of answering to the charge we have. It's important that we be men and that we pass on these things to men that will follow us. Not to these confused transgender sodomites that have no idea what they are.
Right.
How are they going to teach somebody else what they ought to be? How are they going to lead anybody else? They can't even lead themselves. They're mentally ill.
Yes.
And demon influenced. Being a man isn't what's up here or even what's here. It's what's here. And it's submission and obedience to God. It's fulfilling our obligations. You don't have to be the most intelligent man in the world to do your duty. Do what's required of you. We can all be men in that sense. And then David continued and gave specific charges beyond that. First he said to be a man, and he continued on as we started looking at verse 3 last week. He says, "Keep the charge of the Lord thy God." Do what he's told you to do. Obey his commands. Obey his ordinances. He goes on, "Walk in his ways." See, it's not just what you know and what you acknowledge, or even what, like these idiots in D.C. raise their hand and they swear to uphold and defend something. No, it's doing it. It's walking in those things. It's being those things. David says, walk in his ways. Keep his statutes, the customs and regulations. Keep his commands, the laws, the precepts. Keep his judgments. Again, God's judgments are his verdicts. They are how they're viewed from heaven, from the heavenly perspective. And that's the only one that matters. That's the only genuine and true perspective. Folks can try to adopt and embrace and explain away things like sodomy and this gender confusion that we see today. But God has spoken. God's given his judgments. And who are we to change or modify those things? The prophet Isaiah said, Isaiah 5:20, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Additionally, he told Solomon to keep his testimonies. God's witnesses, God's examples, God's testimonies are the things that he says. What he's telling Solomon here is, say what he says. Speak as God speaks. And then he says, finally there is his as is written in the law of Moses. These things we know, we hear, we learn from the Word of God. And the law of Moses, as we, I think, last week looked where Peter says, we have a more sure testimony. I mean, Peter was up there on the Mount of Transfiguration. He and James and John, they saw Moses, they saw Elijah, they heard the voice of God saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That had to be a pretty moving thing. I think that would give you goosebumps. Yet Peter tells us we have a more sure word of prophecy. And he says at the end of that passage in 2 Peter 1 and in verse 21, he says, for the prophecy came not of old by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved, as they were borne along by the Holy Ghost. We have the very Word of God. We have a more sure word of prophecy. We have the will of God from the Word of God. And as I mentioned, the Scriptures indicate the king was to have his own personal copy. That was to be his guide and his direction. And so, King David says, I'm preparing to go the way of all flesh. Be a man, Solomon, and obey the Lord in all things. And then he sets forth all these multifaceted parts of God's will. And the third instruction he gives him at the end of verse 3 is this, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, whithersoever thou turnest thyself. So be a man, obey God, and understand that obedience is the only path to genuine success, that thou may prosper in all thou doest. Only by doing what God says, only by walking in His way, by obeying Him, is there going to be any true prosperity, is there going to be any true success in this life. Not success as the world will count it. It'll look at these billionaires and these stars and these sports heroes, whatever. And they'll talk about their success. They have no idea what success is. Paul, who was about to be executed, knew what success was. He said, as he wrote to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6, he says, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Now, Paul knew the end was coming, just like David did. But Paul's was going to come a little bit different way, at the hands of the evil state. For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. There's a man that's a success. He's about to be executed. And yet his testimony is that he fought the good fight. He finished his course. He kept the faith. He did his duty. He obeyed God. He walked in his ways. Continues on there in verse 8 of 2 Timothy 4. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Other than there's true success, but it won't be recognized by the world. It won't be applauded by the world. You look at the mess that this world's in. You look at its pleasures and its possessions and its pastimes And it seems to be what's all-consuming in our day and age, even as morality falls apart around us. And yet I don't see any satisfaction out there. I don't see any genuine and true success. There's only confusion. There's only sorrow. There's only trouble. There's only uncertainty. There is no success in any source but Jesus Christ.
Right.
Everything else, no matter what you have or where you go or what you own or what you possess or what you do, it's all vanity, as Solomon would tell us. And we live in a day and age when there's nothing but confusion. Kids today, they don't even know if they're a boy or a girl. And they're promoted in this insanity, this wickedness, oftentimes by their parents. I saw a confusing article this week. A mother was very happy that her, I think 15 or 13, but that her 15-year-old son was going through menopause. Said, wait a minute, let me think this through a little bit. She's ecstatic that her 15-year-old son is going through menopause. Well, this 15-year-old girl thinks she's a boy, and she's promoted in all of this by her mother, who's ecstatic about everything, and they've got her on so many different drugs and hormones and whatever, that at 15 years old, she or he or whatever it is going through menopause. And the mother thinks that's a wonderful thing, because I guess it's indicating that the hormones are working. And that's kind of ending whatever there was there that God had put there. Because we want to eradicate that, right? Yeah, well, that's not going to work so well. There's nothing but confusion today. None of this is success. And yet this is what the world would count success. Obedience, the word is success. Following the commands of God, walking in His way. True success, we're told by Solomon in Proverbs, Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Kind of what he learned from his dad, it sounds like. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now what will that bring? Genuine success. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. The only genuine success in this world is living for God and walking in His ways. And I don't want to rush through and finish up today, so I'm going to finish this up next week. And then we'll go on from there, Lord willing. But it's important that we learn these things that David sought to teach Solomon. And Solomon failed miserably in many ways. God's grace is still sufficient. And I pray that we might be the people that God would have us to be. We might be the parents, the fathers, that we might pass on these things to others, that they might truly learn to walk in those ways. And that's what David concludes with as he gets to it and talks about passing on these things to others, that we see Solomon at least was used of God to do that to some extent. We'll take our hymnals this morning. We'll stand and sing a closing hymn together. Number 91, Are You Washed in the Blood?
you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace? Yes, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow?
Father, we thank you for this day, this your assembly, for the privilege to meet together as your people. Father, we thank you most of all for your eternal love, for our election in Christ. Something, Lord, we can't comprehend and something we could never deserve. And yet, Lord, you loved us with a never-dying love. Lord, thank you that you've given us your word, that we can know your will. Lord, we pray for grace and strength and understanding to walk in it. Father, we know that can only be done by the power of the Spirit. Lord, as we look about these confused and wicked and depraved days in which we live, every day, Lord, we're longing for our heavenly home. We know that we're just pilgrims in this wicked world. But Lord, while we're here, may we obey all your commands. May we walk in all your ways. May we be witnesses and testimonies to others. Lord, may our true success be in finishing our course and in keeping the faith, not in what we may accumulate, what honors we may have heaped upon us. Lord, may all the glory and honor go unto thee. Lord, we pray for those that need healing, for those that need comfort. We thank you for your hand upon those who traveled of recent days. And Lord, we just pray that by your grace, you might keep us faithful. And we pray in the name above all names, the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.